I think the elevation simply means that we need to give back sort of the respect and the honor for the profession that I think has been lost over a period of time.
So you see teachers today getting less of that respect, getting less of that honor than when? And how do you notice that?
I think it's more in the conversations that I hear. A good example, when I remember us passing the tax increase that was very specifically tied to teacher pay, there was really this general sense that it was more than just the pay. It was that finally people recognize how, and valued teachers for what they were. So I know that came out in a lot of conversations. I think that there is just this general feeling that anybody can be a teacher anymore. And I just believe that that's really not true. It's really, really hard work. When I talk to young people who are going into teacher preparation, sometimes they see it as the default. You know, it's like, well, if I can't do anything else, maybe I could be a teacher, rather than the conversation that I'd like to hear between us is that, wow, I'm really considering being a teacher. What is it going to take to do that? And it's just, it doesn't have that same sort of, so basically the respect that it used to have in the same way that I believe even when I taught, 40 years ago, it was a really big deal, or you'd have kids who just really thought it was a really big deal that you were a teacher. So I think it's changed over time.
And with whom has it changed? Yeah. Is it parents? Is it fellow mm-hmm. teachers or educators? Is it people who don't have any kids in yeah. a school system? Whose attitudes have changed?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think parents are really engaged in the education system, and this is good. This is not a negative thing. But I think they sometimes are questioning more about what's being done, where teachers are feeling like maybe they aren't, it's being done sort of to them in the same way that I think teachers feel things are being done to them from the state, where all these mandates come down and all of a sudden it's like, just let me teach. I've heard that so many times, just let me teach. So I think that, I think there's that feeling that it's, instead of being able to have the autonomy that they want, that they feel like there's too many things that they're being asked to do that takes away the time of what they really wanted to do. I think even amongst each other, I think that we are the only, and I say we because I will always be a teacher at my heart, is that we are our own worst enemies in some ways, in that I have had fellow colleagues who have talked about not encouraging their own children to become a teacher, whether it's due to pay or whether it's due to how difficult it is. And I think that that's unfortunate that we don't support it in our own sort of way and help others to see what a great opportunity and profession it is.
On the front, when you're dealing with parents, mm-hmm. I see how a combination of more parental engagement mm-hmm. and the idea that anybody can be a teacher mm-hmm. might make life more difficult for people who are trying to help students in the classroom.
And I definitely don't want the impression that parents shouldn't be engaged. And in fact, when I think back, I would have welcomed parents to be more engaged in their child's education. I think, though, that because there is that level that sometimes they don't see, the day-to-day sorts of things that teachers deal with, or there's questioning about how they're doing something if the child is not doing well, that can erode, I think, on a teacher's own self-esteem and their own questioning of how they're doing in that classroom. So it definitely is a good thing, but I think that, again, because there's not this, almost a reverence for the profession like there used to be, it's a much different feeling than it used to be of who that person is that's taking care of my child.
When you felt that reverence, when you saw that honor, what did that look like, back in the day?
Yeah, back in the day. I remember, I was told this to kids, or told this to teachers before. I said, I do remember when I first started to teach, being in the grocery store, and of course I was in a little town, but, kids coming around the corner, you could hear them whisper to their moms, like, oh my gosh, that's my teacher, thinking that you never got out of your classroom, that you never ate, you never did anything outside of there. And I think that was... it was just sort of this, this level of sort of an awe over who you were. I tell this anecdotal story about my mother-in-law, and I think that I had forgotten over time about how important the profession was. And she was in the last couple years of her life and had dementia and was partially blind, and taking her to church every Sunday. And one Sunday she introduces me to somebody who I knew very, very well, But she told them, she said, this is Melody. This is my daughter-in-law. And she's a teacher. And she whispered it with reverence that it was like, oh my goodness. You know, she saw, she just really felt that what I did was so important and so valuable. And I tell that story to teachers often because I think if we look back and see the kids we've impacted, if we could all sort of have that reverence for what the honor of the profession is and what you do. We spend more time, teachers spend more time with kids than their own parents do in a certain school year. And that responsibility is so important and so huge that we tend to forget about the impact we can have for 9 months of that kid's life. They're relying on that teacher to really give them not just the academics, but also, you know, the emotional support that they need. Huge impact.
Pay is one of the most, maybe the most obvious way that we show people in certain professions that we value them. And we acknowledged that as we went through the sales tax increase for teacher pay. You're certainly welcome to comment on that, but I also wonder then, what are the other ways that we are supposed to be showing teachers that they are critical to what we do? How do we elevate that profession if that's right. The point?
Right. I think in some ways it's almost like a campaign in that we, you know, there's that side of it, but I think there's also the opportunity when the legislature and when the general public came out and said, we value teachers and we value what they do, and we're going to show it by supporting them with this tax increase. That was definitely one way in which we were very obvious in our support for them. I think that there's smaller and simpler things that we can do in different ways by, you know, there's the days that we have. We have the teacher appreciation days, but sometimes they're much simpler things in thanking a teacher and so forth. I had an opportunity, and it really hit me in the past year about how teachers can, how they respond to just a little bit of praise. So the College Football League does a recognition, and they weren't doing the recognition at that time. They were doing like more of a teacher day in whatever city they had the playoff game. And so they bring all the teachers together, and it was this rah, rah, rah. And of course, you're only impacting, you know, 200, 300 teachers, but it was a wonderful opportunity. So this past year, what they decided to do was bring all the state teachers of the year from across the country to the playoff game. And at halftime, they brought them all out in the field, and the entire stadium, you know, stood up and cheered for these 50 teachers from all the different states. That was, it was life-changing for some of them. They had never had that sort of recognition before. And in that, there was a number of, throughout the game, they played PSAs from even some of the players who talked about the teacher that made a difference in their life and then what an impact that had. And just for the general public to see, and just that reminder that, you know, think about what these teachers have done. And of course, it was only 50 teachers, but they've been able to take some of that enthusiasm back to their states to be able to talk about that experience and so forth. So I know that we are trying to do, when you talk about what are very specific things, you know, we're trying to make more of a recognition of our regional teachers of the year and our district teachers of the year with opportunities for them to be engaged at the state level. I just recently had a call with a number of state teachers from across the country, and we talked about even role-playing how they would interact with either board members or legislators and telling their story and what they need. And they just, I think that we don't give that sort of support for teachers because it was intimidating for them. And I think about these people who are up and standing in front of a class of children every day, but we don't oftentimes ask them for their opinions and ask them what is important to them. We do things to them. So I just think over the years, we've done a lot of things to teachers, put a lot of initiatives in front of them or put things and done it to them from whether it's the national level or the state level without their input. And I think that involving them in those decision making, and it was just really obvious to me in those conversations I had that day, it's like, you know, nobody's ever asked me these questions about how I felt about these things. Those are simple things we can do that brings that, you know, that recognition that they do have a voice as well.
It seems to be a combination then of appreciating the good teachers we have now and then adjusting people's perspectives so that teaching isn't a plan B. I assume that you take some offense to the concept of those who can't do teach.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I was just pulling up, I spoke at an event recently and I was just pulling headlines off the internet that I Googled about anyone can teach or a fast track way to be a teacher or all these different things where I think about, you know, I think that there's many opportunities for us to be creative in how we train teachers up into the profession, which I don't think we should ignore. But the idea that just, you know, it's like, okay, if, you know, I'm tired of this, I'm just going to be a teacher. That'd be like somebody saying, you know, I'm really, really tired of being a teacher. I think I'm going to be a brain surgeon and think that they can walk in and do that. It's a different skill set, and both are very difficult and both are very hard. But I think that the profession itself takes offense to that, that it's just, it's one of these easy things. The idea or the concept, teachers only work 9 months out of the year. They have this easy job. I would challenge anybody to walk into a first grade room, you know, the first week of school and see how you feel at the end of the day, because they really are caring for children's minds, souls, and bodies in ways that I don't think any of us really recognize, have a big responsibility.
How long do you think it'll take if you are successful in re-energizing the respect for the profession, for people to move from this mindset and really revere teachers again?
Yeah. You know, what was interesting, I was doing some research on what was done, I think it was back in the 60s when the military really started focusing on, they did some very specific things to get the public to really, you know, recognize the importance of the military, which I think we all believe, you know, definitely they need that recognition. And they did very, you know, they did PSAs, they had very specific saying, you know, things that they would put out, slogans that became just national conversation as they went through that. But it did take time, but now it's just so much a part of our fabric. I was in the airport not so long ago, and I was traveling with some teachers from the State Teachers of the Year who were part of the thing that I had been at. And they got on the plane, and I said something to the flight attendant. I said, you know, we've got a couple teachers here. Could you just, you know, say something about that? And she mentioned on the plane that we had some state teachers, and the entire plane, you know, broke out in cheers and clapping, which again, it was such a simple little thing to do, but it's those tiny little things. And so when you ask how long, I don't think that we can say how long is it going to take for something to happen, but unless we really have, and I just, that's why I'm so passionate about this, unless we really start to make specific efforts to do something about it, I'm not so sure that anything's going to really change. One other thing, I guess, you know, and the reason why I think this is important, I've been in education for, you know, 40 years, actually as a teacher, and, you know, over 40 years in the classroom for 23 and now in this, in the department for a number of years. And I've seen all the things, I've testified on hundreds of bills, put into place numerous initiatives. I believe in high standards. I believe in accountability systems, obviously. I believe in assessment. But the bottom line is that if you don't have a great teacher in the classroom, it doesn't matter what legislation we pass, and it doesn't matter what sort of new accountability system we have. ESSA is not going to change education unless we have a great teacher in every classroom. And to do that, I really think we really need to elevate the profession to the point where those teachers know that that's what's making the difference. It's not the new set of standards they have in their classroom.